I probably won't get through it all. Now it might seem like I'm going to change the subject, but I'm really not. I want to turn to Romans, the 15th chapter and the 4th verse. And I want to talk a little bit about the end time. And I want to bring some scriptures to light, to your mind, to see. It says in the 4th verse of the 15th chapter, "And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." That's why they were written. I want to go to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I have a lot on my mind. And I want to read some things that don't look so pretty. 6th verse says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." I want you to remember that. I'm going to go to the 46th chapter of Isaiah. Ninth and 10th verse. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." These things that I'm going to read, things that have been read, all these things will be accomplished. It's written. It's happening all around us. I want to read 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And why do I want to dwell on this? I hope it all come together, what I've been trying to say today. 1st verse, 3rd chapter, 2nd Peter. "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Can we see that? It's in the world today. People saying, well, yeah, they said that a long time ago too, and it never happened. Those people are dead, and it never happened. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And in the Book of Mormon, it tells us the time is only allotted unto men. It's only measured by men. "And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. What manner of person ought we to be? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Think of that. And we'd be found without spot and blameless. I want to read in Habakkuk. The second chapter. In the first verse, and I'm not going to mention anything, but I think Habakkuk here was kind of upset at the Lord. And he was wondering why that the Lord allowed the righteous to be destroyed by the sinners. In the first verse, it says, I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. What is he saying? Those visions that the Lord has caused, that his servants should have, they're going to come. And whether we as people say, well, it's already past the time, it's not going to come. He said, it will come, it won't lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will be here. And I'm going to read some of those, or portions of those. I want to read in Zephaniah, the first chapter. I'm going to start in the first verse. It says, and the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah the son of Cushi. I'm not going to read the rest of that verse because it's genealogy. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. In the Book of Mormon it mentions in the 11th chapter of 2 Nephi, I believe. With those stumbling blocks, one of the stumbling blocks upon this land would be that we had built up too many churches. It says, and I will destroy the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the face of the land, saith the Lord. Now I'm going to skip to the 14th verse. It says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. And the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A trumpet, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. In the Book of Mormon, it talks about the Gentiles. and anyone that would possess this nation, when they ripened in iniquity, they'd be swept off. And we're heading for that. But notice what it says. That neither silver nor gold shall be able to deliver them. There's nothing that's going to be able to deliver them, save it be the Lord. I want to go back in the 8th verse of this first chapter, and it said, "And it shall come to pass in that day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel." Well, what is it talking about? In Revelations, 19th chapter, it talks of the apparel. I'm going to start in the 7th verse. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said, saith unto them, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lord, of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." That apparel was the righteousness of the saints. And we can go in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. In second verse, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain man which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou on hither, not having the wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. He came without having on his garment. And what was the garment that we just talked about? The righteousness of the saints. And those, he has bidden us to come. Are we going to be like those that know I have other things to do? I have just bought something, I've got to go and see it. And this is what he said, "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel." This is talking about the last day. This is talking about Christ coming and the things that are going to be happening. And we are bidden to put on that apparel. I want to go to Matthew. Well, 13th chapter. And I'll read. Verse 24. "Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, dost not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in a bundle to burn them, but gather the wheat to my barn. And in the 36th verse of the same chapter, it says, Then Jesus sent unto the multitude again, and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What did he say? It wasn't the righteous that was going to be gathered first. It was going to be the wicked. They were going to be gathered and destroyed. And that's what we're talking about when we read some of these prophecies. The wicked, this great day of burning is for the wicked. It's not for the righteous. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, saying the same thing. 36th verse. But of that day and hour no man knoweth, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. That's not speaking of rapture. That's talking about those that are evil. We just read it. The evil ones were taken and gathered, and the righteous were left. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So what am I saying? Even as what happened in the days of Noah, they didn't know it till it started raining, what was happening. And that's the way the world is today. And we have to beware. The next chapter talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. And what's that talking about? That's talking about those that knew. It says they all slumbered and slept. But those that had prepared themselves, they were ready when the bridegroom came. They had enough oil in their lamps. I want to go to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. And so far, I sounded kind of dreadful. The things that he said were going to happen, because he said that it wasn't going to be a pretty sight. That the wicked were going to be burned. And what am I saying? We cannot stand in the middle. As it says in Revelations, we're either going to be hot or cold. If we're lukewarm, he's going to spew us out of his mouth. And this day is coming. Uncle Skeet had a dream. He saw the year 2000. A brother in Yucatan saw the year 1997. Like we read, no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. But I say there's a time. There's a time. And he's going to come. Like he said, his word's not going to come back to him. He will come. And these things will happen. And we have to be ready. So what am I saying? We are tempted on every side. But with every temptation, there's a way to escape. Our kids are tempted. But when we watch what they do and we strengthen them, then we're going to be blessed. And they're going to be blessed. And this day is coming for all those. You notice it said in Habakkuk, let him that run that readeth these things. What do you think he's talking about? I think he's saying, when you see these things, run to the nations. Tell them what's going to happen. Warn them. Malachi, the third chapter, 13th verse, says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, where have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, and they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You think about what it's saying there? They were saying, you know, what good has it done us to follow you? Here are all these people that have worked wickedness, and they're living up high on the hog. They have everything they want. And those that are working wickedness, here they're put up before the people as something great. In the 16th verse, it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh, in that day that cometh, shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. There was the promise. We see all these dreadful things. No, we don't have to cry. Except for our sadness, for those that won't hear. But there's a promise for those that are doing what they were supposed to. Even though they'd seen that they call the proud happy, and those that worked wickedness were set up. They'd seen these things, but they kept on the stick. They held on to that rod of iron. They stayed in that trail that Uncle Skeet saw. And when a vapor came, they took another step and they still could see. That's what I'm saying. No matter what we come up against, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to see. If we want to see, many times I feel like we have a straight and narrow path and we want to bend it over our own desires. We have to remember that it's straight. That you don't, things that are on the outside are on the outside. It's cut and dried. Good and, or right and wrong. I want to read in Zephaniah, the second chapter. It says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. What's he saying? Come together before this day happens. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. What's he saying? Gather together and seek these things before it happens. And it may be that you'll be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Come out of Babylon, is what it says in Revelations, because it's going to fall. The world's going to be destroyed. It's going to fall because of the wickedness. I will read in Isaiah, the 35th chapter. I'm about ready to end this. So bear with me a little longer. Let's start in the third verse. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. He's saying, don't fear this time, because God is going to come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. What a promise. Though we're fools and wayfaring men, we won't err there. And that even in these days that are coming, there's a place, there's a hope. And it comes in righteousness. When we are bidden to the marriage, are we going to go somewhere else? Or are we going to have on those garments of righteousness? Are we going to have oil in our lamps? No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's a promise. This is the hope that holds for those that see the world that we're in and stand against it. It's like we read in Ephesians that we stand against principalities and powers, not flesh and blood. And I say, as long as we can see these things, I don't like to run down other churches. I don't like to run down other people. And I don't say to, but I say that we stand against creeds. And what's a creed? You know, Joseph Smith was told that because he wasn't to join any of the churches because their creeds were abomination before the Lord. Those things that were taught by men and not the Holy Spirit. And I have to, and you have to. We have to stand against any creed, whether it be in the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is not exempt for anything that's taught by man as a creed. So what am I saying? When we see evil, when we see these things that our children are taught, and these things our children see, let's be discerning, and let's put aside the bad. We have got to make a choice. We can't walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. We're in between then. We can't, there's not going to be any fence sitters. We're going to be on one or the other. And we've just read that there's two promises. For those that don't do right, there's a promise you're going to be destroyed. For those that do right, there's the promise that says you're going to be taken care of. What does it say in 1 Nephi? It says, and they were armed with righteousness in those last days. They didn't have to have weapons to take care of them. They didn't have to have physical things. They were armed with spiritual righteousness. That's God's righteousness. That's God's weapon. It didn't have to be ours. Wrong book. I'm going to close in Romans with the 13th chapter in the 11th verse. And there's other, if anybody's interested, I have other manifestations and things about some of the things I read today. I could read them, but my time is gone. The 11th verse. And knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. Those ten virgins, they slumbered and slept. It's high time we wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It's time that we quit walking in the middle. It's time that we stand where we should. It's time that we put aside these things and lay hold to every good gift. Every good thing that talks about Moroni. It's time that we are discerning of what's right and what's wrong. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Christ, and don't make a way for our flesh. Don't leave that opening for flesh to fulfill the lust of our heart. That's what I'm saying. I hope I didn't offend anybody by anything I said, but I want us to see that as people, the day is at hand. Even if it's 30 years before these things come to pass, I have a hard time believing it will be that long. But if it is, that's not very long. It takes time to change. We don't change with a snap of the fingers. We see one thing and we work with it until we've overcome it. What I'm saying is, don't wait like those other five virgins. They waited, and it was too late. They didn't have enough oil in their lamps, and they waited. And the Lord caught them, unprepared. So I'm saying, when we teach our children, teach them good. See what they do. When we teach our young people, see what they do. And if it's wrong, stop it now. Help them out spiritually. When we look in our own life and see things, change it. It's not impossible. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We use number 46 for our closing song. Number 46, let's stand. Thank you.